Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to start a series, like I told you, on overcoming selfishness. Isn't that exciting? Hallelujah! I think you're really going to get a lot out of it. And, unless it changes, I've got four messages I'm going to preach on this subject of overcoming selfishness. So this is Overcoming Selfishness 1. But the title of today's message, it's important that you get the title, because the title sometimes can really help you get your thinking in the right direction. And this is a God-given title. This is what He gave me. The title of today's message is this: A Much Fruit Life. Amen. A Much Fruit Life. Now, let's go to John 12. And I'll show you where that came from. John chapter 12, you got it? Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn or a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die. Everybody say die. It abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. How many want much fruit? Jesus is talking about His life here, but it applies to our life. He said for there to be much fruit, you have to die. Come on. You have to die. In other words, you have to die to yourself. Amen? And verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Now, the word hate's pretty strong. But let me give you some meanings of that so you'll be thinking in line with what, is actually being said here. The word hate, his life, literally means to love it less. To love it less. Well, that's strictly from the Hebrew, to love it less. In other words, you love your life less than you do the Lord. Amen. I'm going to give you another one, since that went over so good. You love your life less than you do other people. That's something you got to work on. You weren't born, you were kind of born selfish. Remember, what's the first baby words? Mine. Now, our granddaughter Jordan, she was a delightful child. She was a delightful baby. She just was a joy to be around. She was full of joy. But she really knew how to say the word mine. She didn't say mine. She said, mine. She really drug it out. She wanted you to know, that's mine, So mine is one of the first words kids learn, right? And another one is no. Amen. You're born selfish, and I know it's hard to believe that with some of the sweet babies we have around here, but let them grow a little bit, and it'll start to pop out. Amen. Is that not right? They get a little bit old. They start to grow a little bit where they can manifest some of that. The first few months is it's all gooey love fest, and then have you ever heard of the terrible twos? Well, they don't have to be terrible, but there have been some evidences of that before. Amen. And what's happening there? Well, the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from him. In other words, he was just born. As sweet as they are, they're born. All of us were born with a fallen nature, and it has to be worked on. Now, some people never do overcome their selfishness. You with me now? They think about themselves. Listen, I've learned a long time, if you want anything done, I shouldn't tell you this trick, but I've learned this just out in the public, doing business transactions. If I want something done, just get somebody talking about himself, and after they talk about himself for 15 minutes, they think, well, man, this person loves me, and they'll just about do anything for you. It sounds crazy, but I've told you I had it, and I know it was a favor of God, but you got to know how to work to get favor sometimes too. And I had something I wanted done, And the guy told me, so we can't do it for like 2 or 3 months before we can ever get to it. And I said, well, I need it done now. I need it done in a week or two or whatever it was. Well, it's impossible. And so I said, oh, well, you know, it sure would be great if I could get this done, if you could find any way to get it done. And then I started talking to him about himself. How are you doing? You know, and all. He starts telling me about himself and all. Next thing you know, he said, I'll have somebody out there next week. A little deceptive, but it works. Hallelujah. Listen, when I go to a foreign country, I'm not above pulling a few bucks out of my pocket to get through. Come on. It's amazing when they lose your luggage, a few dollars, they find it. Yeah. All of a sudden, yours is the most important luggage in the airport. Come on now. Well, you say, that's bribery, Pastor. Yeah, but I'm not bribing them to do anything dishonest. I'm just trying to get something done. You know, here a while back, you know, when I couldn't get into Uganda, they wouldn't let me, the United States wouldn't let me leave, you know. I told Phyllis, I said, I wish they'd let me just got over there and dealt with the mess, because all they had done is brought out a, you know, I'm not saying Uganda's corrupt, but I've just learned a few bucks will get you in. How? I shouldn't tell all these secrets. But anyway, how many know people basically are selfish unless they have the Lord in them and get that worked out of them? They just think about themselves, my life, what I want, what makes me feel good. And they don't even think anything about, you know, other people. Right? Amen. You know, now not all kids are this way. So don't take this as a broad stroke, because I've seen some that aren't. But a lot of times kids are selfish until they get a little bit older. You know what I'm saying? You know, they go through their teenage years, you know, and they just, you know, and then one day they kind of grow up a little bit, and you're standing there, mom doing the dishes in the kitchen, and they walk in and say, can I help you? And after you get up off the floor, you realize they're growing up. You know what I'm saying? It's amazing how stupid mom and dad is until they have kids of their own. And I always like this. I always think, you know, there's a law of sowing and reaping, and how rotten you were as a kid, you're going to have kids just like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May they all be like that. We're having a little fun with you today, but anyway. Having no selfishness is an issue that we have to overcome. Amen. Now, you know, listen, all of us do. I'm not just pointing my finger at any age group or anything. I'm just saying that's the way we all are. We tend to think about ourselves. But Jesus said, unless you die, you're not going to bear much fruit. If you're just hooked up in life about you, there's not much for God to do. In other words, there's not much of a harvest he can do, because you're not sowing anything. Right. Remember, we talked about that during offering time. You got to put something in the ground. You got to sow something. You got to begin to think about somebody else. Are you with me now? You know, I mean, talk about just out in public sometimes. You know, you can go to a restaurant, you know, sometimes maybe they ain't doing the best that they should sometimes, but sometimes you got to remember maybe they've had a really bad day. You know, like one time I was going to a drive-through, and I don't remember which one it was. I think I remember, but I'm not positive, but I won't say it, of course. But I was going through a drive-through, and the person was kind of rude, a little bit short, a little bit rude, you know. And I just had this thought. I thought, well, you know, I'm just going to let them know what I think about this, you know. You know what I'm saying? And I heard this now. I'm telling you now, the Holy Ghost said this to me. He said, everybody has a right to have a bad day. Yep. Now, what was he saying? He wasn't saying believe for bad days. He was saying every now and then people have things happen. Yeah. Now you're going to go spew all over this young lady, and you're going to tell her how she ought to act and how she ought to treat you. And you don't know that why maybe she found out her husband stepped out on her. Maybe she just found out her husband's divorcing her. And she's still at work serving you. And you're going to go pour salt in her wound. Glory. That doesn't mean sometimes we don't need to correct things, but, you know, we just need to be, we need, you know what, we just need to make sure we're just not being selfish, because I didn't get my way. Yeah. I want my way. Bless God, I'm going to have my way. Well, your way stinks. You know what I'm saying? See, we have to learn that God's not just looking out for us. You know, sometimes people just think, even the church in America, sometimes think that the only place that God ever looks at the church is in America. Yeah. You know, he's got, you know, the churches in other nations. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You know, listen, I know at one time that 90% of missions came out of the United States, but that's maybe not so now. And we got to learn, got to understand that God, he cares about other people, not just about us.
Right.
Yeah. This is really, I can tell we're going to have great crowds during this series. Hallelujah. Amen. I crowds down this morning, and because I was stupid enough to tell you I was going to preach on. That was just dumb. I know better than that. I'm more seasoned than that. Notice verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall, the King James says a corn, and literally it's a grain of wheat, falls in the ground and dies.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. You got to die. It abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. How many want a much fruit life?
Yes.
Now, you know, listen, there's a man in the Bible that we think about, and we think about him sometimes in terms of good, but yet there's and sometimes terms of bad. But I want to talk about him just a little bit this morning. You know, Samson was anointed of God, was he not? I mean, think about this guy. The things he did with his strength, you know, that God gave him. You know, he was a Nazarite from his mother's womb. He never cut his hair. You know, no strong drink or any of that. He had that Nazarite vow on him, which he was dedicated in covenant to God, and God anointed him with supernatural strength. I mean, you know, he just tear the whole gates of the city up, you know, from their moorings and carry them, you know. One time, you know, he got into it with the Philistines and killed 1,000 of them with a jawbone of a donkey. That sounds impossible, but when the Holy Ghost is on you, hallelujah, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, the things that he did, you know, were supernatural feats that he did, you know, and things. But you know what? God raised him up for a specific purpose. He told his mother that the specific purpose of this child is he is to deliver Israel from the Philistines. At that time, the Philistines were ruling over the Israelites. And God raised Samson up and said, I'm raising him up to be a deliverer of Israel from the Philistines. But when you read his life, which is, it's just like 3 or 4 chapters in the book of Judges, and I was reading that in out of Judges the other day, and a week ago, I was reading out of Judges, I think like 14, 13, 14, 15, 16, somewhere in there. I was reading out of Judges, and I noticed something about Samson. You know what I noticed? Here's what I noticed. The only time he did anything to the Philistines was when he was mad at them. I realized the only time he killed Philistines was when it was for his own personal reasons. Come on. You know, you read all the times that he attacked the Philistines. It was all about, he was such a, listen, Samson, when you read his life, he was such a loose liver. No, I don't mean like organ liver. Maybe that's where that comes from. Your liver's loose. But he would mess around with the Philistine women. And he'd get over there and messing around with the Philistines. And they'd get, you know, Delilah, and he married a Philistine woman, and he didn't stay married to her very long. And he would go and he'd mess with the Philistines. You know, one time he told his wife a riddle, he bet the Philistines that they couldn't figure it out, you know, and finally they paid his wife off. You know, he didn't know how to pick women, I can tell you that right now. And they paid her off, and she told him the answer to the riddle. It made him mad, so he burned all their fields down, you know, their barley fields down. He burned them all down. They came after him. He killed them, you know. You know, he would just get in fights. And I realized as I was reading this, the only reason Samson ever did anything to the Philistines is when they ticked him off and for personal reasons. He had a selfish life. Even his final moments, you know, I'll hear preachers say, well, Samson killed more at his death than he did all his life. Well, wow, what a testimony. He could have lived. He could have killed him, but the reason he killed more at his death was because, you know, he got to flirting with them and messing with them, and they poked his eyes out. They cut his hair. His strength went from him. He broke his covenant with God. They poked his eyes out. They put him out like a mule, man, grinding out meal, you know. And they would bring him out and do shows with him, you know, before the Philistine rulers and all. And so one day they're having this show with Samson out there, you know, him doing things, and they're all watching it. But, you know, they had forgot about something. His hair had grown back. His covenant was now back intact. And his eyes were put out. And this young boy that's leading him around, you know, he says to him, he says, take me over to the pillars that hold up this building, you know, because they're all upstairs there. He's downstairs. There's pillars that hold up the building. He says, take me to the pillars that I may lean on them. He leans on them. Now listen to what he says. What did God call him for? I just told you. What did I tell you? To deliver the Israelites from the Philistines, not from Samson. Some of his final words were, Lord, let my strength come back to me that I may avenge myself of the Philistines for them taking out my eyes. Uh-huh. It's all about him. Mm-hmm. He could have had a much more fruitful life. Mm-hmm. Well, he was selfish. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Yeah. I love your amens and warm fuzzy feelings and your stupid stares. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm having fun with you. 1 Corinthians 15. You could act like you're getting something out of it or enjoying it, even if you have to lie about it. You can repent later. 1 Corinthians 15. Go there. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31. You know, it's not fun to talk about things we got to deal with. But, you know, hey, this is February. Hey, this is what the world calls Love Month. You know, which they don't know anything about love to start with. God is love. You know, I can get you a stupid card, but it doesn't mean I love you. Well, that went over big anyway. Well, listen now, I didn't say I wasn't going to get my wife a card. That's not... She wants chocolate. She don't care much about cards or flowers. She wants chocolate or diamonds. Amen. Amen. It's not like 007 or something, chocolate and diamonds or something. I don't know. But. I mean, you know. And she, you know, listen, I'll tell you something. What I meant by that was, like, you know, there's people that give cards one another, and they treat one another like dogs. But it's because we're supposed to. You know, that's not true love. Right. True love, man, gives you what's best for you. Amen. Right? You know, see, that's what, I'm off on this. I'm going to get on this a little bit, okay? Listen, we need to teach our young people, don't follow the world's definition of love. You know, they're saying love is love. Well, love is love when it's the love of God. Yeah. Love, see, today the world says love. You're not walking in love if you don't agree with me. Right. You're a hater. You're a bigot. You're this, you're all kinds of phobes that they don't even know what they're talking about. Phobe means fear of. You know, they use the word, you're a homophobe. Well, that means I'm a fear of homos, sexuals. I'm not afraid of them. Don't label me that. I don't agree with their actions. But I don't agree with a lot of people's actions, not just them. There's a lot of people. You want to read a list of where all that's in. There's a lot of things in there, too. People that sleep around. Well, I'm on it today. You know, they're not married. You know what I'm saying? That's listed right in there too. So I'm also against that, but I'm not a phobe. I'm not an adultophobe. I just happen to believe what the Bible still says about it, all right? Now, you could choose to believe something else. That's your business. But don't get in my business for me believing what I believe. You want to believe the other way, you better hope you're right. Amen. But you know, I like something I heard that Keith Moore says. For something to be scriptural, it has to have scriptures. That's a fantastic saying. I wish I had thought that up. Matter of fact, I think I'm just going to steal it from him. Anyway, that's great. Yeah. See, for you to be right, you got to have the word on it. And see, their definition of love is if you don't agree with me, I'm talking about all the world, all the things, all the kooky things they believe and they're standing for right now. You know, if you don't believe the way I do, then you're a hater, and you know Christians are haters and all that. And you know, listen, Christians are the only people that'll still pray for you when they don't even like you.
Yeah, come on, come on.
I got a fighting spirit on me. Hey, I've been with Dr. Barclay. Leave me alone. Listen, I don't blame that on him. He's nice. But well, I'm just simply saying, are you getting what I'm saying? See, it's not, their definition of love is not the right definition of love. You know, love is love, no matter who it is. Listen, there's such thing as still as right and wrong. There's still right and wrong. Amen. And so this idea that love is love when it's the love of God. When the love of God gives you not what you think's best, not what you want, but what's truly best for you. That's the true love of God. See? You say, well, God's love is unconditional. God's love is unconditional. But God's love is not, amen, always in agreement with everything you're doing. See, sometimes we enable people. You hear what I'm saying? Just for instance, you know, if you have somebody that just, you know, somebody's just, you know, you got a man that comes to your church and he's, you know, it's not that he can't, he just won't work. You know, sometimes people have physical conditions and they can't work, they got real issues. But then you know, I've had them before that they just wouldn't work. And, you know, they wouldn't keep a job. You know, I'm thinking of a particular person that came to our church, they just wouldn't keep a job. I helped them out. I helped them, get what they needed for their job and, you know, prayed with them and helped them. And they quit that job and then they wanted money. And so, you know, I helped them and then they quit that job and then they wanted money. And I said, you know, well, you know, you need to keep a job, you know. And then they work there for a week or two and quit that job, and then they're in trouble financially and they want money. And I said, no, I'm not helping you again. Mm-hmm. Now, see, to them, that's not love. Right. But if I keep doing that, when are they going to grow up?
Right.
They can't live life that way. Right. Somebody's got to put their foot down and say, you can't do that any longer. I'm not helping you. I'm not enabling you. I'm not going to help you do that. You know, and so they got mad and left. Mm-hmm. They came back because nobody else would help them. You know, I finally had to tell our people, don't give them anything. Don't do it. Because I was gone one service and they came and some helped them out because they didn't know. They didn't know that. And I finally had to say, no, don't give them a thing. Let them get a job. I want to help people that really need help. How about you? But I want to help people that are just too lazy to get up and go to work. I mean, I see a guy with a sign that says, we'll work for food. I thought, well, that's what I do. Go work. If you got something really wrong with you, that's different. Right. We'll help you. But, you know, if it's just easier for you to stand on the street corner and bum off me, then, you know, forget it. I'm sounding really mean today, aren't I? All right, praise God. Well, this is important. We got to learn, you know, that, you know, what really love is. Love means you never preach about my sin. You never talk. No, that's just, that'd be stupid to not talk to people about their sin. You know, the Bible, the Amplified Bible, you know, where Paul tells Timothy what to do, one of the things it says is show people where they're wrong. That's part of the Word. You know, the Word, how many know the Word cheers us up? It's not too much today, I can tell. But anyway, you know, the Word cheers us up. How many know that? But the Bible says the Word is good for instruction and for correction and for rebuke, see? And advocate, all of that, it's all of that. See, what is the Word? Well, sometimes the Bible says the Word's a hammer, it breaks the rocks in pieces. Sometimes it's a healing salve that just, you know, heals you. We need all of it, don't we? You know, we need all of it. I know a preacher made me mad one night. I mean, it's just something he said. It just made me mad. I was ticked off. And after a while, the Lord said, he's right. I thought, oh, gosh. I hate it when I'm wrong, don't you? I remember when I was working with another preacher one time, and sometimes he would do things that I wouldn't agree with. You know, I'd think, well, I don't know about that. And I'd go pray, and the Lord would, I don't know how many times the Lord would say, he's right, you're wrong. How many of the Lord would just be honest with you? If you don't want to know, don't ever say, Lord, what's wrong with me? He might just tell you. Are you in 1 Corinthians? Did I tell you there?
Yeah.
Go to chapter 15, verse 31. Come on, you getting anything today?
Yeah.
All right, we're just talking about overcoming selfishness. We have to overcome this if we're going to have a much fruit. Everybody say much fruit.
Much fruit.
Remember Jesus said, if you're going to have much fruit, you've got to die. You got to die. How many know Jesus died to himself, didn't he? I mean, he didn't want to go through what he went through. He said, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will. But when he died, what happened? He brought forth much fruit. Yeah. Amen. Verse 31, 1 Corinthians 15. Paul said, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. And what does he mean by that? Well, he doesn't mean he physically died daily. It just means he died to himself daily. You know, if you're going to fulfill God's will for your life, you have to die. I wish you could just do it one time, but you have to die daily. Why? Because your flesh will want to. Every day it has to be told. It has to be put in line. Right? See, I've been here in this church now this year. I'd have to figure it, but I think this year will be 25 years. That's a long time. Especially for someone that didn't even want to come here. Can we? I'm not being mean. I got nothing against Evansville, but it's just I was pretty happy where I was at. I was pretty happy doing what I was doing. You know, it's a lot easier to just go preach for a pastor, let him cry on your shoulder, get a love offering, and go home. You don't have to change any diapers. But now, sometimes I have to look for somebody's shoulder to cry on. I don't really. I'm a pretty big boy. My wife can tell you. Most of the time. I have my childhood moments, believe. But they're few. I'm not like one of these pastors that's always complaining and, you know, I got these awful people. I don't have awful people. I've got good people. Amen. And I confess that over you, and I believe it, and it's true. Now here's the thing, though. See, I didn't want to do that. If you go back, you know, years ago we used to have something called a cassette tape. Anybody remember those? And you go back and like when Pastor Jerry started, it was like reel to reel. And yeah, that was Brother Kenny, etched in stone. Pastor Chuck was parchment paper, you know, out of leather. But I was in the cassette days, you know. And you go back and you get some of my old cassettes and you will hear me say, because I was associate pastor for a number of years with Brother Eddie, who came here and preached. And he and I worked together for a few years together. And I got started underneath him. And he gave me my start in the ministry, and then he made me his associate and put me on full-time as an associate pastor. So that's where I got started at. Well, see, so I'd had my taste of pastoring. I knew what it was like and what it was about. And so you hear me on those tapes say, I will never pastor again. I've done my time. And you know, you learn with God, don't ever tell him never, because then this may be what he has you do. So I had to die to myself. And what I wanted to do. Amen. And it always brings forth much fruit, and it's always the best for you. Amen? Amen. All right. Praise God. Come on, let's go to another scripture. Come on, let's stay with me here a little bit, all right? Amen. Let's go to another scripture. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go there. I want to get this out today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Thank God for the Word. Amen. Thank God for the Word. So we're just talking about overcoming selfishness, and we're talking about a much fruit life. You want fruit? You got to overcome selfishness. Because you can't have the fruit God wants for you to have if you love your life. If it's about you. All right? Now, we're going to talk about some really strong things as we get into this and about this in connection with local church and so forth. So it's going to be strong, but I believe you're big enough to handle it. But it's going to be strong and it's going to be good for us and it's going to help us to have much more fruit. I want the fruit. How about you? All right. Now, verse 14, 2 Corinthians 5, it says, for the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for one, that they which live, that'd be you and I, right, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So the Bible says we're not supposed to be living for ourselves. I don't come to church when I feel like coming to church. I don't go preach when I feel like going and preaching. Sometimes I don't feel like going and preaching. Sometimes I don't feel like doing things that are associated with following God. But we don't do them based on ourselves. We do them based on our love for God. Right. Amen? Amen? So we're not living for ourselves. See, once you get saved, somebody should have told us. They probably didn't, but somebody should have told us, now you're not your own. Yep. Right. You've been bought with a price. Yeah. Right? See, it's like this. When you read the word redeemed, you know what the Bible says, that we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus? When you study that word redeemed out, it has this connotation in slavery. Like when, you know, when slaves were, you know, even in Israel, when the slaves were on the auction block up for sale, okay? Somebody come along and bought them. Now they're their property. You understand that? All right, so that's what that word redeem means. It means that we were up on Satan's auction block, and Jesus Christ paid the price and bought us.
Yes, amen.
He redeemed us from that pit of slavery.
Yes.
Now I'm going to tell you what he did. Here's what he did. He set us free.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
We became sons of God.
Amen.
There's male sons and female sons in the kingdom, right? We became sons of God. Now, we can choose now to serve God.
Amen.
When Paul says, I'm a servant of God, it's the word bondservant, which means someone that was set free but chose of their own volition to come back and be a servant for that person. Amen.
Amen.
So our position in the kingdom is sons, right? But what we're supposed to do with our lives is serve God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Serve God. Amen. See, you know, listen, I don't go. A lot of times people think maybe the pastor goes on to mission field, you know, because he loves to travel. I hate to travel. I despise. You can ask my wife. We no more get someplace. I want to go home. The only thing I like about traveling is eating in the airports. And I like to eat in airports for some reason. I don't know why, but, you know, I like that. That's cool. Get some coffee, you know. You can really eat unhealthy in the airport. It's amazing, man. I mean, yeah, man, you can just eat. Oh, that's cool. Anyway, but I hate to travel. Really. I don't go to the mission field because I love to travel. I go to the mission field because I feel like God wants me to serve Him over there. Now, not full time. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, don't say that. You know, but here's the thing, see. I'm not living for myself now. If I was living for myself, I wouldn't be here this morning.
Okay.
And what I mean by that, I'd be doing what I want to do.
Right. Come on, right.
My flesh wants to do. You know, if I wasn't living for God, you know what I'd want to do? I'd want to get me a travel trailer and travel to every NASCAR race, hit them all. And that's where I'd spend Sunday all the time. You know, like Pastor Chuck, he was such a selfish person. Before he met Jesus Christ and Joanne, both start with a J, you notice that? Thank God for the J's in his life.
Yeah.
Well, there's Jill, too. What about that? But you know what he used to do on Sundays? He'd go fishing and chew tobacco. He was an exceeding sinner before the Lord, before he met Jesus Christ. Thank God he's saved, right? Well, I'm just talking about what you do in the natural. How many of you follow me? Most of you wouldn't be here today if you followed your flesh. Your flesh never says, hey, I got a great idea. Let's get up early, take a shower, clean shave, and go to church. Great idea. Your spirit will, your spirit man will, because it's born again.
Yeah.
But you have to make your flesh behave, right?
Right?
You have to die daily. Paul's not talking about his spirit man dying. His spirit man wants to obey God.
Right.
The new creature on the inside wants to obey God. It's the flesh that wants to do things that are contrary to the word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so we have to make it behave.
Yeah.
If you just let yourself do what you want to do, you'll kill yourself. Amen. You'll kill yourself because your flesh is selfish. Whew. All right. Did I tell you to go somewhere? All right. Now let's go back. Let's go back to, let me see here. Let's go back to, what scripture I want to go to now? Let's go back to Mark chapter 10. Let me show you something here. Come on, are you getting anything today?
Yes.
I'm getting ready to wind down here, man. I got another scripture I want to look at after this, but Mark chapter 10, I'm just talking about overcoming selfishness and how to have a fruitful life. Everybody say much fruit life. You want a much fruit life. You want fruit, amen?
Yes.
And God can, you know, and like we talked about in offering, you know, the things that we say over our confession for our offering, that is what we're believing for a harvest,
right?
Right? But before you can have a harvest, what do you got to do? You got to sow seed, all right? So you can believe, you know, you can sit around and dream about the harvest. You know, farmers may do that. They may think about how great the corn harvest is going to be or the soybean harvest or the cotton harvest or whatever it might be. But, you know, they can think about that. They can talk about that. They can plan for that. They can have their vision. That's all good, and you should have that. But if you don't plant some seed, none of that's going to come to pass.
Right.
See, the same thing's true. You can want a much fruitful life. You can want a life that's full of fruit. But are you thinking about others? Or are you just thinking about yourself?
Mm-hmm.
See, are you only just, is it all about you? Amen?
Amen.
You know, sometimes some of the songs we sing, you know, you can turn them in and you can find out, you know, just how selfish people can be. You know, when you think about it, you know, I am so beautiful to me. I think that's the way some people sing that song, you know. I'm everything I hope for, everything I've dreamed. Used to sing an old song lately, All I Got Is Leaving On My Mind. Remember that? That's all I think about most of the time. It's not a country song. It's a Christian song. It's about leaving the earth in rapture. I think some people sing that song, Lately all I have is me on my mind. I'm all I think about most of the time. I mean, that's a problem. That's a problem with God. If God was just thinking about himself, you and I would not be here today. You know, he was really miffed one time in Genesis, and he said, I'm sorry I even made man. I mean, that's bad. You know, one time God told Moses, he said, I'm going to wipe them all out. Aren't you glad that Moses stood on the covenant, remember? Amen? And aren't you glad that God's merciful? Amen. See, the Bible says to God, you read that Genesis, you know, and it says, you know, God in Genesis, I think chapter 6, that God says that God said that he said, the King James says, it repenteth me, or I'm sorry, it grieves me that I've even made man. I'm going to wipe him off the face of the earth. Well, that'd been it. Would stop there. You and I wouldn't know one another day. But the Bible says, but Noah found grace. Thank God for God's grace. Amen. Mark chapter 10, let's go there. Come on. Verse 17. And when he was gone forth, Jesus that is, into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and said to him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? Why are you calling me good? There's none good, that is, but God. What was Jesus saying? He's saying, look, all goodness comes from God. Okay. If there's any good in me, you know, it all comes from God. Well, we know Jesus is God, was God when he said this. He says, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor your father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these I have observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing you lack. Don't you wish there was just one thing you lacked?
Yeah.
Amen. You know. I mean, what would God say to us? What would Jesus say to us? One thing you lacked? Or would he say, like, there's like a couple dozen things you lack? Come on. How many things do you think we still lack? This man says, one thing you lack. One thing you lack. Notice this. Go your way. Sell whatever you have. Give to the poor. And you shall have treasure in heaven. And come take up the cross and follow me. Now, the amazing thing is anybody, Jesus, in the previous verses of the word in the Gospels. Anybody he said in the Gospels that he said, follow me, he meant come follow me and be one of my disciples. Remember when he saw Peter, you know, and Andrew, follow me. You saw Matthew, follow me. You know, James and John, follow me. He told this guy, follow me. Follow me. Talk about a fruitful life this guy could have had. He could have had his name in the Bible. Now we just know he was a rich young ruler. He didn't bother to name him, see. But notice what Jesus said, follow me. And then notice, let me say something here. Jesus is not telling, listen, because this is kind of a goofy thing that's gone around in the church, that God wants you to get rid of all your possessions and give all your stuff away. Well, if he tells you that, you should. But the reason he said it to this guy, we're going to find out, is this, that was this guy's problem. His money, his riches was his problem. See? Have you ever had something in your life that was a problem? You know, and how you can't just cut back. You just got to cut it off. Right? See, I'm kind of like that way. You know, people say, well, like I heard a guy say one time, he said, you know, he started having problems in his joints, in his arm or something like that. And he said, you know, I drink 28 cups of coffee a day. So he said, I quit drinking coffee. The Lord showed him, it's your coffee. I quit drinking coffee, and now all that's gone. Now, see, my thought was, well, couldn't you just cut that back? I mean, you know, 28. You drink 28 of anything a day, you're probably going to have some problems. Right? I mean, you drink 28 gallons of water a day, you're probably going to have some problems. Right? First of all, you're not going to be able to sit through any one of my sermons. Secondly, listen now. See, some people now, and that's, I think, the way this guy's personality was or is that he can't just cut back, he's got to cut off. Are you with me now? And sometimes I have that about me. It's like, you know, well, okay, cut back. Well, sometimes the cut back doesn't work. I just got to get rid of it. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know, like if there's something that's your problem, you know, like if ice cream's your problem, you probably just need to stay out of Dairy Queen. Mm-hmm. Right? You might be so bad that you can't even drive by Dairy Queen. It may be so bad you have to move to Wadesville where there is no Dairy Queen. I don't know. That's why James is there, I think. But anyway, how many understand? See, Jesus is just simply, he's dealing with this guy. This guy's problem is money, man. He values money. And Jesus didn't tell him necessarily to give it all away. He said, sell what you got and give to the poor. He didn't really say, we read that in there, but he didn't say give it all to the poor. He said, get you some liquid assets and start giving it away. Yeah. Amen. Now listen to this now. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. I want to tell you, he not only had great possessions had him. Yeah. See, that's the problem. Wasn't the fact. See, a lot of people say, well, see, Jesus is against rich people. Now, you read on down, you're going to find out that's not so, because you know, he said it's hard for a rich man to get into the kingdom of God, and his disciples were astonished. See, that didn't line up with the Old Testament God that they knew. He blessed, see. But Jesus said it's hard for those that trust in riches. He clarified himself. Not just those that have money, those that trust in money. There's a lot of people that have money do a lot of good things with it. Amen. Now let's go to, let's close. I could preach more on that, but we're out of time. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. I wanted to read this scripture before we close today. Thank God for his word, everybody. Amen. Acts chapter 20. I hope I wasn't too rough on you today, but you know, it's just a little punchy today. But you know, it's hard to talk about overcoming selfishness without, you know, rubbing the cat the wrong way. Turn the cat around. That's what we're trying to get you to do here. Now, let's go to Acts 20 and verse 22. And don't you think this gets me? Well, it gets you too, right? You know, hey, I mean, you know, I have to live by the same word I preach to you. So I have to work on this. We're all working on this together, right?
That's right.
All right, Acts 20, verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound. This is Paul, the apostle. I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save or except that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. I mean, that'd be enough to keep you from going. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. How many know he had died to himself, hadn't he? Remember he said, I die daily? Well, he was dead this day, right? He said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. So, everybody say so.
So.
This is the reason that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Notice he said, I don't count my life dear to myself so I can finish my course with joy. Now, what is he saying? He said, I don't have me on my mind. I don't have me on my mind. I'm going to show you some things later on about this man and about what he did and how unselfish he really was. But that's another sermon. But I wanted you to see this today, that he said, I don't count my life dear to myself so I might finish my course with joy. Everybody say joy.
Joy.
Now see, if you got yourself on your mind, you can't have joy. You know, unless you're just this really egotistical person, if you just think about, if all you do all day long is sit around and think about you, you're going to lack joy. That went over big. Because you get your mind on you, it zaps joy out of you. Now, we all have to deal with things, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to pray for people today that want prayer over some things today, but we all have to deal with things. We all get attacked at times, you know. But we're talking about if all your life is about you, if all you think about is you, if that's all you think about, you're going to have a pretty sad, pitiful life. If you get up thinking, and I'm going to deal with this even later, but if you get up thinking every day, how can I get blessed today, instead of how I can be a blessing, you're going to have a pretty pitiful life. You're going to lack joy. See, you just think about how can I get my needs met. Have you ever thought about waking up someday and thinking, who can I bless financially today? Who can I do good to today? Who can I bless today? Who can I say a kind word to today? Instead of, who can do it for me? See, it's a huge difference in the way your life will turn out. We want much fruit, right? You have to sow for that, see, that much fruit life. You have to be the person that actually gives something, does something to bless. Otherwise, you're going to have a lack of joy. How many know when you lose your joy, you lose your what? You lose your strength. See, when the joy goes out of life, then you lose your spiritual strength. I don't know why I'm so spiritually weak. Well, yeah. How about go witness to somebody?
Amen.
How about go share the gospel? How about go buy somebody something? Well, thank you for your, I appreciate your vote of confidence in my preaching this morning. If I went by that, I would quit and go back to where I came from, but I'm not going by that. I'm not going to be moved by your face, your lack of response. Help me understand that you got to change your mindset. I'm not saying this is easy. I'm not saying this is natural. You have to work at it. You have to work at it every day. Paul said, I die daily. He didn't like, you know, you get it and all of a sudden, you know, you don't ever have to deal with it again. You have to deal with it. Amen? So you have to wake up in the mornings. Well, who can I be a blessing to today? Who can you send me to today, Lord? I always pray this. I always pray this every day. Lord, help me be a blessing to you, to others, and then lastly, to myself. I want to bless you first, Lord, which means I want to do your will. I want to bless others and, you know, help me live my life in a way that I blesses myself, you know, that I don't just, you know, do things that will hurt myself. So I pray that every day. There's probably not a day goes by in my life I don't pray that, seriously, every day. You know, I may have missed one day in the last 5 years, maybe two, three at the most, that I don't pray that. Lord, help me be a blessing to you, to others, to myself, every day. Every day. I'm still working on that. I still find myself to be selfish at times. At least I got some amens on that. Thank you for that. I'm not the only one, right? I mean, you sit in a church like this. You know what I'm saying? And she goes, well, listen, I'm never going back to that church. I'm cold. The whole time I'm there, bring a blanket. Don't sit under one of these things. Those blow air out, hot and cold. Don't sit under one of those. But then you have somebody at the same service, I'm hot. I'm never going back to that church again. You know what your problems are? You're both selfish. You got you on your mind. Amen. Oh, no, he's praying for her again. I'm hungry. My gosh. Don't he know what time it is? I got a roast in the oven. What's the problem? Selfish. Think about self. Okay, maybe this is the 37th and a half time she's come up to get the Holy Spirit, to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. But what if this is the time she receives?
Amen.
Amen. You have to think about that. Get you off your mind. I'm going to talk about this some more because, you know, we have trained Christians to be selfish. Church has got to provide everything I want. I remember a woman came to our church. I'm glad she left. You know, I was kind of selfish because I didn't want to deal with her. But anyway, anybody that's this dumb, I mean, we had just started. We'd been in existence like 60 days. And she comes to our church, and she's miffed because we only have one Sunday school class. One. I thought, my gosh, I was excited we had one. That was Miss Emily, man, from way back. You know, that was years ago. Miss Emily shows up. We have a Sunday school class. Praise God. I thought, oh, glory to God. See, just selfishness. You know what? If she'd have been unselfish, she could have said, you know what I'm going to do? You only got one Sunday school class, Pastor? I'm going to help you. I'm going to come here. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to show you I got character for 3 months. More than that if you're going to work with kids. 6 months. You can do a background check on me. You would do that? Well, yeah, if I'm going to stick them back over your kids. And I didn't know them, of course. I wouldn't stick them back there with your kids if I didn't know them anyway. Let's just don't be dumb, right? So, you know, I'm going to check. You know, she could have said, I'm going to come here. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to be at every service. And I'm going to tell you what, after you find me faithful, you can prove me, I will start another Sunday school class. That's the unselfish thing. He says, well, you just got one. Well, go on. Didn't ask you to come to start with. I tell you, I feel a little punchy today. I don't mean all that I'm saying. Some of this is just hyperbole, but anyway, you know, you know what I'm saying. We got to grow up, amen. We got to grow up and realize, you know, there is more to life. There is more to this universe than just us. There's more in this world than us, and we got to be people that think and change our thinking, renew our minds, and begin to think in line with who can I bless, not who can bless me. What can I do? What can I give? And you say amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.